Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. And we're going to continue our study tonight through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is about our fifth or sixth lesson out of the book of 1 Corinthians 15. It is the resurrection chapter, one of the most important doctrinal texts in all the Word of God. As it focuses on one of the greatest events that ever happened in all of history, and that is the resurrection of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Without Jesus' resurrection, then we wouldn't have no resurrection other than the resurrection of the damned. Because of Jesus' resurrection, there is a resurrection of the just. Now, if you'd like to get any of those other sermons that we've done, out of the book of 1 Corinthians, I'd like to encourage you to, if you have a computer, to go on to www.ghtg.org. That's ghtg.org, and that'll bring you to our church's website. And we have over 900 sermons, including all the radio broadcasts on that site. We'd also love for you to come and visit us sometime at the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. And when you visit, tell us that you listen to the broadcast. That would be a blessing to us. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to continue. We're going to be down in verse 35. As I said, this is the resurrection chapter. We've noticed many truths out of this chapter. But now in verse 35, he raises up two questions that opponents would raise up with regard to the resurrection. There's a great host of people that don't believe, even down to the day, in a resurrection. In Jesus' day, there was a group of people called the Sadducees. You've heard of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. It would be a horrible thing to go to the graveside of a loved one and have them, their body placed down in the ground without knowing if they were saved, without knowing that one of these days from there will come a new body, a resurrected body that never age, never get sick, never sin, and never die. It's hard when you put a loved one in the ground. One of the hardest things this side of glory. But when that person is saved, and you know that this is that their spirit is with the Lord, and as soon as they died, they departed to be with Christ, and then you know that their body is placed in the tomb or in the ground. But from there one day is going to come a new body. It helps you be able to handle it when you know these things. That's why the greatest thing you can leave behind for a family member is the knowledge that you as a man or a woman have trusted Christ as your Savior. Therefore, you have victory over death. So there's two questions raised in verse 35. It says, some will say, how are the dead raised up? So they're questioning the how can this happen, is the first question. How are the dead raised up? And then the second part of the question is, with what body, do they come forth? Or with what body do they come? They recognize that, over a period of time, that body is going to corrupt, it's going to decay. So, with what body? How is this, from this decomposed body, how is anything going to come forth? So those are two questions. Let me repeat them again. How are the dead raised? How's this happen? How's this going to happen? And with what body do they raise? So that is the question of verse 35. And then in verse 36 all the way down through verse 50, he's given a response to these two questions. So we won't be able to look at it in the detail we'd like to tonight in 28 minutes, but we'll try to get the main gist of this particular text. All right, now his first response in verse 36 was fool. He responds to someone that would question a resurrection and says fool. And that's a pretty strong language for him to use, but that's what he uses. The Old Testament uses a terminology for someone that says there is no God. It says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, here he uses the same terminology the Old Testament uses when it says here only a fool would reject the resurrection, that there is such a thing as a resurrection. So How does he prove it? Well, the reason why he says a fool, he says, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, if may chance of wheat or of some other grain. So now what he does is he uses the illustration of a natural illustration, something that you see in nature. He uses the example of sowing seed. In other words, he's going to show them that they see an illustration of the resurrection every time they plant their garden. Anytime you plant a garden and you put corn seed in the ground or you put wheat seed in the ground, that begins as a seed, does it not? You take it and you put that in the ground, you put that seed, you cover it up, you plant it, and from that dead seed comes forth the stalks of corn or the stalks of wheat. Or if you, plant flowers. And I use this text every time I do a graveside. Whenever I do a graveside service, I always use this text when the person was saved. I use the illustration of a tulip bulb. And you take a tulip bulb and you look at it. It's not very pretty. And no one brags on a tulip bulb. But what do you do with your tulip bulb? You take and you bury it. And you might plant it in the fall, but then in the springtime of the year, it comes up. From that bulb that was planted in the ground comes life. And it comes forth out of the ground, and then you have that beautiful new body of the tulip. And you see that in the springtime. So that's the illustration that's used here. Paul is addressing those that are mocking the resurrection. He says, well, you see this all the time in nature. You see seeds planted, you see them buried, and then you see new life coming from that seed, and you see the body and the stalk, or the flowers, or the wheat, or the corn. You see this in nature, is what he's saying. That's why I used the term fool. He said, you see this in the natural realm. You see that every time you plant a garden. You see that every time you put flowers and sow seed in the earth, and then from there comes a new body, a different body. Okay? So that's the reason why he uses that terminology. Jesus did it also. John chapter 12, he also used this terminology also in talking about himself. John chapter 12, I probably have to find this. It says in verse 23 and 24, and John answered and said, the hour is coming that the Son of Man should be glorified. That the Son of Man should be glorified. And he says, verily I say, except a corn of wheat, so he's talking about the seed, fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Well, Jesus is talking, explaining about his death. His hour was coming, and his body would be like seed. He would be crucified on Calvary, and then his body would be placed in the tomb. He would die, but as a result of his resurrection, it would bring forth much fruit. So Jesus used that same illustration in his earthly ministry, talking about his death and resurrection. Now the Apostle Paul is using it in answering those that would object to a resurrection. He points them to the natural. He points them to planting gardens and things of that nature. Putting seeds in the ground. From that comes new life and from that comes a new body. So, if Jesus can do that, if the Lord can do that, in nature, in the raising of crops and the raising of flowers and the raising of vegetation, then he can do the same thing with regard to that human seed which is planted whenever someone dies. Okay? He's able to, even if a body was just completely obliterated, that which is left will still be able to come up if they trusted Christ as their Savior while he is living. I mean, you look back in history, there was people that whose bodies was consumed by fire. But will they have a body at the resurrection? Absolutely, they'll have a body. which was left is like seed. And then one of these days, at the resurrection of the just, remember there's two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the just, but there will also be a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the just will take place. The word just means righteous. These are people that have trusted Jesus as their Savior, and He has given them His righteousness. He has imputed to them His righteousness. Remember, we always say, in order to go to heaven, you got to have 100% righteousness, and there's only one person that ever walked this planet that was 100% righteous, and that was Jesus. And He imputes that to you by faith when you trust Him as your Savior. Now, does that mean you don't live righteous? No, you do live righteous, but you're not doing it. That's you do it because you love Him. You seek to serve Him because you love Him. You seek to put sin, deal with sin in your life so that you can walk morally and godly and righteously in this present world because you represent Him. You want to represent Him well. But the cause of your salvation, is faith in Christ, and He gives you His righteousness. That's why in the book of Matthew He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." So He's answering the objection here in 1 Corinthians 15. How are the dead raised up? What's the answer to that? Well, just like you look at the illustration of seed. It's just like seed. Just like you see seed in the ground that is planted and then it comes up a new body. That's the same principle that's going to happen at the second coming. The Lord's able, as He's able to make seed come plants come from seed or crops come from seed, He's able to do the same thing with regard to the resurrection. So that's His explanation of that. Now, He asks another question, this second part of this question, and with what body do they come? The answer is that in verse 37. He says that you don't sow the body that shall be, but bear grain, if may chance, of wheat or of some other grain. So, you don't sow the body which shall be. So, and we understand that too. Let's go back to our illustration of the tulip bulb. When you take a tulip bulb and you plant it, what comes out of there in the springtime, the body of the tulip is a whole lot different than what the seed is. You don't sow the body that shall be. In other words, what comes out of the ground looks different than the seed. Well, that's how it is with regard to the resurrection. With what body do they come? They're going to come forth a new body. It's going to be more glorious. It's going to be better. It's going to be sinless. So, you don't sow the body that shall be. Now, let me skip on over to verse 42. And He talks about the resurrection. And He talks about the differences in the body. So, I think we need to go ahead and skip over to that. I'm fast running out of time. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now, the body we have is a corruptible body. And that simply means it's been corrupted by sin. We was born with it. That's the reason why we age. I mean, over a period of time, we're aging. And you can look at yourself about every 10 years and with pictures, and you can normally see the difference. You can see the sign of the corruption. We're getting older. And, of course, we inherited a sinful nature whenever we died. And David said it in the book of Psalms, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So we have a corruptible body. But it's sown in corruption. I mean, when someone dies, why do they die? Because they got a corruptible body. It's going to age. It still gets sick. And one of these days, it's going to die. That's just the fact of the matter. But you need to have victory over it. And you can have victory over sin, and you can have victory over death, and you can have victory over hell, which is talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me go ahead and read this. 1 Corinthians 15, 56, "The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that victory is over death. And He gives us victory over corruption. So when you've trusted Jesus and you have the victory in Jesus, then when your body dies and it corrupts, then it will be raised in incorruption. You're going to get a body that will never corrupt. It won't age. It will be eternal. It will be a body like Christ. So it will be sown in corruption. See, notice how it's using the word sown. Again, keeping the idea of sowing, planting seed. That's the illustration that he's using all through this text. It is sown in corruption, but it'll be raised in incorruption. In other words, what comes out of the ground one of these days. Now, that's when Jesus comes. We looked at another text here, and it says that Christ, let me go back here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ was the first fruits. That means Jesus was the first to die, never, and then to resurrect, never to die again. You know, remember other people resurrected in the Bible. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He was resurrected. Widow of Nain, son was resurrected. Jairus' daughter was resurrected. But they all died again. When they was resurrected, they were still in their corruptible body. Jesus was the first to resurrect, and he had an incorruptible body. So he was the first fruits. Then afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. So when Jesus comes again, all of that seed that has been placed down in the earth, one of these days, it will come forth, and it will come forth a new body. Different in the sense that it will be without sin. Different in the sense that it will never corrupt, it will never age, and it will never die. So it is sown in corruption, but it will be raised in incorruption. Verse 43 says, notice again it uses the term sown. Again, pointing you to the analogy that he used, that he is planting. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Now, our body, it will be sown in dishonor. And, of course, when you die, you want to treat, of course, the body with honor. But it is going to be placed down in the ground. Sometimes it gets sick. Sometimes it catches some type of disease. And then at the end of your, and as you age, there's a lot of things that you could do before that you begin to experience dishonor with this human body. But sown in dishonor, but it'll be raised in glory. The new body that we get, since it will age, since it won't get sick, since it won't die, when it is raised, it will be raised in glory. Notice in the book of Philippians chapter 3, notice what it says in verses 20 and the verse 21. It says, for our conduct or our citizenship, is the idea of the word, is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to what this says. Who shall change our vile body? This body that we have is a vile body. It's a corruptible body. It's a body that over time will be sown in dishonor. But it will be raised. Listen to it now. Who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he's even able to subdue all things to himself. So, our new body won't be vile. Our new body won't be corruptible. Our new body won't be dishonorable. It'll be sown in weakness, but it will be raised in power. So what a glorious thing to think that whenever one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime, to think that one of these days I'm going to die, but when my body might be sown in corruption, but one day it'll be raised in incorruption. Yeah, my body might have been sown in dishonor, but it'll be raised in glory. It might be sown in weakness. You know, weakness, eventually, through age, we get weak. We don't stay as strong as we once was, as we age. It'll be sown in weakness, but when it is raised, it'll be raised in power. Verse 44 said, it is sown. Notice three times, 42 says sown, 43 says sown, 44 says sown, which means planted. Put it in the ground, just like you would if you planted a garden, just like you would if you planted flowers. It starts with a seed, you plant it, but what comes up is a whole lot different than what went in. So Jesus is using this as an illustration so people would understand about the resurrection. Remember, the question was, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? What did Jesus do? He pointed them towards seed. And you see it all the time in nature. When people plant a garden or when people plant flowers, they sow a seed in the ground. But what comes out is a whole lot different than what goes in. It's a different body. It's a better body. And you see it in nature. But one of these days, the Lord is going to do that with regard to our bodies. When you know Christ again, when you die, you go to be with Him in spirit. And then your body is sown in the ground like seed. And one of these days, it'll come forth a new body. So, sown a natural body, but it'll be raised a spiritual body. This body that we have now, even though you're saved, we still have a sin nature in it. We're not perfect. But one of these days, we'll have a spiritual body, a body that won't have no sin nature in it. That's why it says He will change in Philippians. This is Paul talking in Philippians 3 through the inspiration of the Spirit. He'll change our vile body, and it'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So there'll be a difference. So you can see what He's doing in the text. He uses the illustration of sowing seed to answer these two objections to the resurrection. We see this all the time in nature. And that's what the Lord's going to do. The body, when you die, is just seed that's left behind until the resurrection comes. Now, as I said a little while ago, there is two resurrections. There is a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and the first resurrection, as I said, takes place at the second coming. That's the one that you want to go in, and that's the one that you want to be a part of. You don't want to go in the resurrection of the damned. The damned are those that have never trusted Christ. And if you don't do anything, then you'll die that way. You need to be, you need to have your sins forgiven. You need the righteousness of Christ. You need to have eternal life, and you need justification. And the only way that you can get that is by trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then when that happens, the moment you trust Him, you got victory over death. You die, and your spirit goes to be with Him. And then when He comes again to take the living, there'll be a generation, we'll deal with that later, there'll be a generation that never dies, and they will be taken out here. But when our loved ones that's in heaven today, when Jesus comes again, He's going to bring them with Him. They're going to get their new bodies. That's called the resurrection of the just. It's called the first resurrection. And then the Scripture says, then they which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Folks, that's a glorious thing, isn't it? I mean, this side of glory, there's death and there's sickness and there's aging and there's all these things. But when you trust Jesus, you have victory over these things. And even when you come down to the time that you put your body in the ground, in the grave, in the tomb, or however it goes, one of these days, from there will come a new body. That's the reason why a lot of times they'll refer to a cemetery as a garden, because it is filled with seed that one day will come forth. So that's His explanation to the questions that were asked in verse 35. Now, in verse 38 says, God gives it a body as it pleases Him, and to every seed, His own body. Now, he uses the illustration, he draws again in verse 39, he says, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, there's the flesh of beasts, of fishes, and of birds. There's celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, that's the idea of celestial, and then there's terrestrial or earthly bodies. This is pointing out to the stars, the sun, moon, and the stars. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So what he does, again, he's as he pointed in the seed, now he tells him to look at the creation. And he's already provided bodies, different bodies for men, and different bodies for beasts, and different bodies for fish, and different bodies for birds. If he can do that, he can certainly provide resurrection bodies for his people. He certainly can indeed do that. If he could provide, I mean, all the stars in heaven differ in glory, and the stars are innumerable. He provided them their bodies. Now, if he can provide for all the different animal creation, all the different heavenly bodies, the planets, the suns. You look at the sun, moon, and stars, they differ in their lights, do they not? But God is able, was able and is able to sustain them, and He's able to make them the way they are. I mean, you look at creation, when you look at creation, you can see God's handiwork in that. And if He can certainly create all of these bodies that vary in glory here on the earth, here in creation, then He can certainly provide resurrection bodies for His people. And certainly, He can do that. And that's the reason why He addressed this in this particular section. He mentions the first Adam in verse 47. The first man of earth was earthly. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. The second Adam, of course, is referred to as the Lord Jesus. The first man was earthly, but the second man was the Lord from heaven. He uses that as an illustration too. As we have, let me read this for you, as we have borne the image of the earthly, and that's our physical body, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. We have this old sinful body, as we, and that, of course, came from Adam. But one of these days, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly, and we will get a body like Christ. Body will never get sick, body will never age, and a body that will never die. My friends, I hope that you will go in the first resurrection whenever Jesus comes, and if Jesus comes tonight, I hope you'll go in the rapture. In order to do that, you have to trust Him as your Savior. The Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This has been Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. May God add His blessings to His Word. Thank you so much for listening.